Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Clash of the Titles, the podcast that sees two movies with something in common go head-to-head to see which one does it better. And welcome to part two of this week's gargantuan golfing grapple. So, on Monday's episode, we were back in 1980 with the ramshackle but somehow insanely watchable Caddyshack. We're travelling forward through time now by 16 years, and another Saturday Night alumni takes on the world of golf as Adam Sandler begins his journey to box office dominance with 1996's Happy Gilmore. So which movie will emerge as champion this week? Let's find out. It's Clash of the Titles.
Release the Kraken!
Hey, Clash Podders, just stay out of my way, or you'll pay. Listen to what I say. Hello, I'm Alex Zane.
I'm Vicky Crompton.
I'm Chris Tilley.
Now, very quickly, don't forget, as I always say at the start of episode two, part two of each week, take the time to follow us on Twitter. We are at Clash Pod. You find out all sorts of extras about the show on there, and it's a whole lot of fun, and that'd be lovely. So, thank you. Right, part two. These were Chris's choices this week. Caddyshack versus Happy Gilmore. Christopher, remind us of the connection.
It's golf, isn't it, Alex? But it's also, I think it's fair to say that it's, you could take that tagline from Caddyshack, slobs v snobs, because these are both very much class comedies about class warfare, which you don't see as much in American comedy as you do in British comedy, but both these films do tackle class warfare.
Yes, they do. Do you have anything else that you'd like to say at the top of this second episode?
I do. But you know what? I'm going to save it to the end now. We've got some tweet stuff as well.
Okay.
So I'm going to save the special stuff to the end. So stick around for the climax.
Okay. Thanks for letting me know. Because I thought we were doing it there, so it makes me look bad. But I don't mind. I don't mind. It's just water off a puck's back. Puck's back. Hockey.
Very good.
Happy
Very
Gilmore.
Good.
Back in the game. Back in the game. All right. Well, you gave me Caddyshack, so it was my journey to take us on Monday. That means Victoria had Happy Gilmore. Victoria, take us on a journey.
Angry but rubbish hockey player turned angry but amazing golfer Happy Gilmore smashes his way through a golf tournament to win the cash needed to save Grandma's house from the tax man.
But she's an old lady. I mean, look at her. She's old. You can't just take her stuff. She's too old.
He can drive, but he can't putt. So, Happy learns how to putt and wins. If you like golf, you'll love this film. If you like Adam Sandler, you'll love this film. If you don't care much for either, then Ben Stiller's in it and he's really funny. Was that all right? I know, I'm sorry. I only did that this morning. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what you can have, Victoria. You can have a glass of shut the hell up.
Yes, that was fine. You definitely ticked all the boxes of that section of the show.
Okay.
So, yes, very good. Very good.
Y'all ready for this?
Yeah!
Meet Happy Gilmore. He was a hockey player.
That's my puck, baby! Don't you ever touch my puck!
Who was skating on thin ice. But when his grandma needed his help...
Mrs. Gilmore owes the IRS $270,000. We're going to have to sell the house to someone else.
But she's an old lady. I mean, look at her. She's old.
He discovered a new talent.
That house is like 400 yards away.
That's unbelievable.
Now, he's going from the rinks...
Step right up, folks. See if you can outdrive the amazing golf ball whacker guy.
To the links.
Hey, where are you going with those clubs, punk?
I'm your caddy.
He's going to be on the tour. That's super.
He's got the swing.
Eagle it.
He's got the drive.
He shoots, he scores!
He's got the balls.
Oh, God, I hurt a little, but I'm all right.
Quite a large and economically diverse crowd here at the Invitational. I guess it's the new tour sensation, Happy Gilmore.
Hey, if I saw myself in clothes like those, I'd have to kick my own ass.
And while he's trying to keep Granny out of the rest home...
I'm telling you, this place is perfect. You're going to make friends in no time.
He's driving the game of golf.
Why didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Straight into the ground.
Damn you people, this is golf!
I'm Bob Barker. Looks like you and I are going to be playing together today.
Oh.
This guy sucks.
All right, let's go.
Let's move into the section, which to me is all set up and no payoff, where I just tell you how many times I've seen it or not. this is the second time I've seen this film, okay? Listen. You know I surprised you on Monday because I said I'm from a golfing family. Guess what else? I'm from an ice hockey family as well. So yeah, you can shut up. We used to go
and
watch...
Really?
Yeah. We couldn't afford to go to the football, I think because my dad had spent all our money on golf club fees. So... He wanted us to go to a sport as a family. Maybe he wanted boy children. I don't know. So he made us go to the ice hockey all the time, and we loved it. We thought it was brilliant. So there you go. So I know a lot about ice hockey.
What team did you watch? Were you watching?
What were they called? The Blackburn Hawks? Were they called? Blackburn something. Okay. Seahawks? No, that's not right. What's a Seahawk? Ice Hawks?
Wait. But most likely Blackburn something, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We should look it up. Yeah. No, don't regret it. No, I know loads about ice hockey. And my dad used to drive us around the country. We got to away matches in really scary parts of really scary towns. So we spent a lot of time in like Solihull Ice Rink. And ice hockey is a very physical game, which is why a lot of people like it. And I found that the crowds were also like that. A lot of fighting and a lot of drinking, which is presumably why my family really got on with it.
Right. You were absolutely right. They are the Blackburn Hawks.
Yeah.
Formerly the Black Hawks and the Lancashire Hawks, but now the Blackburn Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I ice hockey, I don't really follow any sport other than baseball, but ice hockey is a sport that when it's on, I do enjoy watching. And I do think as a sport, it translates very well into film. I know we're talking about golf in this instance, but, you know, Goon is such a great film. I'm a big fan of that, and Slapshot as well. So there's a lot of, I have a lot of movie love for ice hockey.
It is exciting. It is, because it's so much fighting. It's so physical. And the way that they structure a game, it's like little, there's plenty of time to get to the bar. It's really well thought out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So golf then.
But anyway, yeah, back to golf. How many times have you seen this film?
I'll jump in. I watched this movie. This was only the second time I think I've watched it, maybe the third, but I did watch this film at exactly the right time to fully appreciate it as a teenage boy with a group of other teenage boys, all smoking cigars.
No, you weren't.
No, but you know, when you're with a group of mates, I think I must have been, I don't know, about 16, 17, around then when I watched it, and we all watched it together, and it was like, yay! It was about as macho as I get, which is limited. Mm, so yeah, it was great fun, though. It was the perfect time to watch it.
Yeah, I think I was this.
And I will say this, so just very quickly, this was my first experience of Adam Sandler, watching this movie back then, and I thought he was absolutely brilliant. It was like, who's this guy? He's hilarious. This is awesome.
Yeah, I thought I didn't like Adam Sandler at the time this came out, because he'd just done one of his baby voice movies. Was it Billy Madison was the one. Because he does have his films do tend to split up into ones where he's doing the baby voice and ones where he isn't. And
yeah,
I don't like any of the baby voice films. But yeah, I saw this one at uni with mates and thought it was pretty funny. But that's about it concerning my history with this one.
Okay. Do you want to hear a bit of background into this film?
Oh, please. Yeah,
sure. Okay. I've prepared. So, you know.
Oh, okay. Great.
So anyway, this film.
Yeah. Is this from the Dennis Duggan interview?
Quite a lot of it is lifted from a golf podcast. Yeah, definitely.
Great. I just wanted to bring that up so everyone knew just how much research you had done for this particular episode. You listened to a golf podcast, which is an incredible feat. For people who know you.
Yeah, it really is. I know you're not being sarcastic. That's true. I don't voluntarily listen to no fucking golf podcast. Ridiculous. Yeah. Anyway, so written by Adam Sandler and Tim Herlihy, who I think they went to university together, but I know they did work on sketches for Adam Sandler at SNL, and then they did Billy Madison. It's apparently based on a childhood friend of Adam Sandler's who could just hit a golf ball very hard and went on to be a professional hockey player. I think that's true. I did fact check it a bit. I think he was called Kyle McDonough, if anyone's interested, or like a massive ice hockey fan. He says it's true, so let's just say it's true.
Well, I used to play a lot of field hockey. That was my sport that I was good at when I was a teenager. And we played to quite a high level, my school. I played with guys who were really good at hockey, and when they would play golf, it wasn't too dissimilar to this how they would hit a ball. They didn't take the huge run up, but they didn't have a proper golf swing, but they just had such power in their arms that they could drive that ball like 300 yards. So I think there is some, you know, although it's ridiculous what he's doing, there are guys that do hit the ball in a crazy way and get distance on it, just no accuracy.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of fighting in field hockey, like ice hockey? Were you a bit of a brawler, Chris?
There can be a fair bit, because like ice hockey, you've got a weapon in your hand, basically. So you can smack people in the face off the ball or with your stick. So there was a little bit, but I was definitely a lover, not a fighter.
Okay. Which is often a better weapon on a hockey team.
Love. Yeah. Well, really breaks someone's heart. Like, no, I never liked you, actually. Yeah, I was faking. Yeah, yeah, I was. Yeah.
Tell them some home truths just as they're about to try and get the, I'm going to say ball, and I'm not going to say net.
I'm going back to my ex. Right. Okay, that's funny. Now, I'm going to pronounce the director's name Dennis Duggan, because that's how he pronounces it on this golf podcast that I listen to. But if you think it's Duggan, you can talk to me about it later. So he had been doing telly for about a year after he did a Zucker Brothers film, which didn't do brilliantly, called Brain Donors. When he was casting Brain Donors, he puts this guy in front of the Zuckers like four times, so the story goes, and they just wouldn't have it. He was like, he's going to be a star. They're like, nope, nope, nope. Anyway, when it comes time for Dennis to then pitch for Happy Gilmore, walks into the room, there's Adam Sandler. He's the person that the Zuckers weren't keen on. And Dennis Duggan tells the story that Adam Sandler was like, you stood up for me, so I'm standing up for you. So put your notes away, kind of thing. Like, Dennis Duggan says it was mine to lose at that point. Like, shut the fuck up. Everything you say now will get you fired, basically. So the job is his.
It was kind of a lucrative thing as well, wasn't it? Because you know, he has gone on to work with Adam Sandler a lot as actor and director.
Well, that's the thing, because it was $12 million budget, which is very cheap. Even then, it was still pretty cheap. but it made 42 million. So that's a massive hit. And even though people were quite scathing about it, I think Adam Sandler won a Razzie for it. But anyway, it wasn't like, not everybody loved it. But then it did start the big, it was the beginning of a big partnership for Dennis Dugan and Adam Sandler. And they have worked on lots of bafflingly successful films.
Yeah. I mean, like everything from this, like Big Daddy, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. You don't mess with the Zohan. Mm. They just gradually get worse, don't they? It's honestly, as I started reading this list, I'd forgotten how depressing it gets. Grown Ups, Jack and Jill. Yeah, Grown Ups 2.
Grown Ups isn't a film. Grown Ups aren't films. They're holidays that they just turn the camera on at them having a laugh in a nice in a nice holiday vacation spot. That's all those movies are.
I mean, I just think it depends, which is fine. When I was watching this again, I was like, if this was Will Ferrell, I would feel different. Even if it was delivered line for line the same way, I would just feel differently about it because I just have more love for that man. And it's just how you feel about Adam Sandler. His films are basically critic proof. He doesn't give a shit that no one likes them. He's made what I read somewhere that Dennis Dugan's films with Adam Sandler have made like $3 billion worldwide gross. So it's like, no, so they don't care. And people go to see them and love them. And if you're into the Adam Sandler thing, he's a frustrating man because to me, he is a good actor. So if, you know, the recent Uncut Gems is amazing. And he's not in Uncut Gems because it's an accident. Like, what are the brothers called that made that?
Safdie.
Yes. So they went to him. So like, we want you for this. You can do this. And he's incredible. But it's frustrating when you look at the rest of his output. I mean, I listened to some of his, like, you know, when comedians would put out albums and there were sort of sketches. And it's like, I just don't get it. I just don't get his, he just doesn't make me laugh that much, basically.
It's a weird one, though. I think if you are in the right place for an Adam Sandler movie, then it's the perfect thing to watch at a certain time. Like we once were taken, they took a bunch of journalists to it's called the Summer of Sony, which is they fly you out to Cancun. You hole up in this 5-star hotel and Sony Pictures play you all their latest releases. And as you can imagine, putting a lot of journalists in a 5-star hotel for a week and just playing the movies, a lot of drinking goes on there, a lot of drinking. And I remember watching, which Adam Sandler movie was it? It was the one with Andy Samberg in. Oh, come on, help me out, Chris. Is it called That's My Boy? That's My Boy.
Yeah.
And it's notoriously not a good film. And I genuinely, me and the group who we were with were full of margaritas, and I've not laughed so much at a movie in a long time. So what I'm saying is, flown out on an expenses trip and fed booze and then put in front of an Adam Sandler movie, in that perfect storm of events, he is the perfect guy to watch on screen.
Alex Zane can be bought.
And then all I had was just some stuff about casting. It's a well-trod tale that Kevin Costner turned down the role of Shooter McGavin because he was going to do Tin Cup and he didn't want to do two golf movies. But thank God, because Shooter McGavin is fucking amazing in this and couldn't be anyone else.
Has Kevin Costner done like a dumb comedy though? I've read that and I thought, this just doesn't make sense to me because even his comedies are serious. I wonder how interested he was in this. He takes himself very seriously and he takes his films very seriously. So,
And at that point as well, what are we talking about? 1996. Yeah. I don't think Kevin Costner was going to... You just cannot imagine, because this is Costner. This is still big Costner at that point. And you can't imagine him going, yep, I will play second fiddle to Adam Sandler in his second lead role in a movie. As the villain, well, it doesn't sit right.
It would have sat between Waterworld and The Postman, which are two of the most egotistical films you could ever possibly see, where he's the savior of the planet, And Tim Cup,
you know, hindsight's 2020 though. Hindsight's 2020. If he had stuck Shooter McGavin between those two movies, people would have gone, but he's got a sense of humour. Yeah, look at him in Happy Gilmore. He's not nuts.
And as it was, he did stick Tin Cup between those two movies, which, while not being a raucous comedy, is actually a really good, solid comedy drama. So he made the right decision and we got a very good Shooter McGavin.
Yes. Christopher McDonald is a revelation in this film. And I'm going to say it early, but I'll say it again. You can be sure of that. This would be half the movie, if not a quarter of the movie, without him in it. He is a phenomenon.
Mm. So that's all I had. Unless you've got anything else, shall we talk about the film?
Let's do it.
Good with me.
Okay, so we meet Happy Gilmore with... See, this should annoy me, but it didn't. It's good. Like a voiceover montage, because, oh, that's so lazy. But... it establishes very quickly, and it's pretty funny. He loves hockey. He loves his dad. His dad dies. He's got anger issues. He can't skate for shit, but he has a hell of a slap shot. And the reason this montage didn't piss me off or make me think, oh, that's lazy, is because then his grandma pops up as Gene Simmons, and that's very funny. So that'll do.
Check out, I just wonder like how many focus groups they go through to get the music for a montage like that, because the music is spot on. Like it goes, this is funny, this is also heartfelt.
Yeah.
And that song that's just playing, it's like, I swear it's a staple of every Adam Sandler movie where they have exactly the right song to make you go, ha, ha, oh, but it's beautiful, but ha, ha, but oh, but it's beautiful, which that montage completely does. You're like, oh, the kid's scared, but it's all right because it's his grandma in a mask. Oh, yeah. And now he's happy. And as well as that, they're literally saying that. He's literally going, and then she scared me, and then I was okay, and then she turned out to be the best person. You go, well, that box has ticked there. Nothing left up to the imagination.
But do you know what that music is, Alex?
Go on.
It's Tuesday's Gone by Lynyrd Skynyrd. And it actually annoys me a little bit because we recently did an article, the three of us, where we picked our favourite summer films, which you can read on the Stakhanov website. And that song plays such a prominent role in Dazed and Confused, which was your pick. And it's so connected to that film in my head that I don't like other films using it. And this was, what, 3 years later they used the same song. So while it works here, I just get annoyed. That's the Dazed and Confused song. You shouldn't have taken it.
Well, as anyone would know if they have read our picks for summer movies on the Stakhanov website, there is a link on our Twitter at ClashPod. You'll know that despite it being my choice for summer film, I have only watched it once when I was about 17 years old. So I had forgotten that, which is my excuse.
I don't care how many times you've seen things. I'm just going to clear this off the decks right now. If you've seen it once and it's your favourite, that is good enough for me. It's up
to you. We've got it's a big part of the show, Victoria. I mean, that's an off-air conversation right there, because part of this show is Chris and I like to say how many times we've seen things, and you know what you can do? You can get on bloody board with that, right? Because I've had it from you. It's just statistics, because I like those statistics now. I've come around to Chris's way of thinking.
Really?
I've seen Dazed and Confused once, and there, I've just said it again.
I don't like the statistics. I like the potential anecdotes that come with the stat, but not the stats.
You're the only person that's got anecdotes. Because you're the only person that remembers everything like that. I don't remember anything like that.
Once we get hold of your journal, then everything will be revealed.
My journal?
No, Chris's journal. When he talks about it to himself in the third person, Chris today watched Dazed and Confused, and Chris remembers the way the light fell on the carpet of his bedroom.
What issue of Empire magazine he was reading at the time, and he was annoyed because it was number 3 and not number 2, which is what it should have been.
What brand of Cuban cigar he had procured?
Anyway.
Whether he'd be heading up to the attic later on to listen to the Alan Partridge podcast with a glass of brandy, as is his wont.
A bottle of brandy.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Right. So, yeah, anyway, the story, which I'm really fine with it being quite spare, is grandma's house is in trouble. She's not paid her taxes. So they're short of money, Happy and Grandma. He realizes that he can kind of play golf because he can just whack it. And he sort of surprises these two people who are like, what are they called when they come and take your shit? the bad men come and take your stuff.
Yeah, because the bad guys are the government here. Because look at her. She's an old lady. You can't take her stuff. She's too old.
There are some very funny lines, and we're getting to this. It's so simple, but it's my favourite line possibly of the whole film. So this conceit puts Happy Gilmore in front of Chubbs, who is an ex-pro played by Carl Weathers, who's going to train him to play golf because he can't believe the shot that this boy has got on him. And he's trying to convince him. He says, I'm going to train you. And Adam Sandler just looks at him and says, no. That's it. Yeah. And it's so blunt. Yeah. And it shouldn't be that funny, but it is so funny just to be like, no.
But the lines add on top of each other because he does. You're right. He just says no. But then you get that close-up of Carl Weathers looking like, or like just like sort of staring at Happy Gilmore walking off. And he goes, he's going to play. And by God, he's going to win. Yeah. And you're like, oh, wow. That's powerful. Powerful stuff from Carl Weathers.
Yeah. And then this is the scene where Happy says to Chubbs, why are you not playing a real sport? Which is an allusion to Carl Weathers' old job because he was a football player. And that Chubbs is missing a hand. And obviously in Predator, he gets his arm cut off. So lots of fun in jokes there. And all of this puts Happy on the tournament, which if he wins, he gets to go on the tour. But this is all to put him in the path of the best villain ever, kind of, which is Shooter McGavin, played by Christopher McDonald, and the eventual love interest in this film, Julie Bowen, better known from Modern Family, whose job I think is PR or something, but it doesn't really matter what it is.
I've never thought of that. Do you think it really was? I mean, it's kind of essential to the plot that Carl Weathers' character has one hand. Do you think that was a nod to Predator? I'd have never picked up on that.
Why is it essential? Well, because of the crocodile.
Yeah, because of the whole alligator.
Yeah, but you could just replace that with anything. He could have had no toes and replace it with a piranha. It doesn't make any difference.
I think it's a tougher visual gag to sell if he's got wooden toes than a wooden hand.
especially if he's a golf coach.
Yeah.
I think it's a joke. I just do. You could do anything. Why would you do that unless it was, oh, yeah.
Because he was a golf pro who can't play golf anymore because he's got a wooden hand.
But he could have one eye. It could be anything. Like he could have. I can't believe we're having this conversation. This is annoying me.
I'm with Alex on this.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who's a writer? Me. Shut up. I know.
If you've got one eye, you can still hit a golf ball though. And if you've got missing toes.
And a wooden eye, again, it's not as great a visual gag when half the time it's about his hand getting crushed or Adam Sandler pretending to shake it when it's not there. You know, how is he going to do that if the guy's got a wooden eye?
I don't know.
But you're a writer.
You've nailed it. You've nailed it, Alex. You've destroyed her. Although I'm saying all this, I remember years ago when we were playing hockey, we played against a team that had a guy with just one arm. And I said to my lads, look, go easy on him, poor bloke. And about 20 minutes in, he'd scored 3 goals. And he was like, fuck this. Shit. He was unbelievable. I'd never seen anything like it. So, he could have played with one arm. So, Vicky, I'm on your side now.
Oh, thank even you. Though, by your logic, your argument, he would have been a better... Right, yeah. Mm. Doesn't hold water. It does. Mm, yeah. He could have been a better golf player.
Let's definitely reference Predator by giving it... He gets his arm blown off in Predator as well. It's his whole arm. It's not just his hand.
But isn't it? Does it... Oh, I can't... This is so boring.
Can we park
boring.
This? Let's park this.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how it would have worked. It would have worked if, in Predator, Carl Weathers, after having his arm blown off by the Predator, had also managed to gouge out one of the Predator's eyes. Then we're cooking on gas.
What I mean is, we can cut this out, but I think it's important. He says it just after he said, why don't you play a real sport? So it's clearly, this is our in-joke section. Oh, look, you've got a wooden hand. All right?
All right.
All right, fine. Okay.
I know, I'm fine. I think you're wrong, but I'm not going to say that.
Yeah.
Definitely. Now I want to talk about Ben Stiller in the nursing home, if that's all right, because I think this bit is very funny. So Ben Stiller plays So Grandma ends up in a nursing home because the tax man takes her house, and Happy thinks it's going to be fine because Ben Stiller seems like a really nice care home assistant. But then when Happy Gilmore is gone, he's like, oh, I'm evil. And he runs it like a sweatshop and has got them making rugs, I think. But I misread this scene, and my version is worse, but it took me a while to shake it off. So they're in the room together and Grandma's saying, oh, don't worry, Happy, I'll be fine. And Happy says, oh, look, Ben Stiller's here. He seems nice. But obviously set up and pay off. Chris, pay attention. So then when Happy's left, Ben Stiller says, don't worry, Grandma. And I was like, oh, my God, what's he going to do? And Grandma sort of takes her cardigan off. And I thought, oh, my God, it's sexual. Like, he's going because she looks like she's undressing. And then she instantly says, oh, can I have a glass of warm milk, young man? And he's like, no, you can't. And I was like, there's something wrong with me. That's what I thought was going to happen.
I don't know. I think you've got a pass on this one because he has the moustache of a sexual predator.
Yes,
so
correct.
I think that moustache gets you out of any blame for thinking that, because only someone troubled has a moustache like that.
But you love Burt Reynolds.
That was more than Burt Reynolds, although I did like the fact that Burt Reynolds gets a mention in this movie when the limousine goes by and Adam Sandler goes, yeah, it must be Burt Reynolds. I'm like, yeah.
Go on, Chris, sorry.
Well, just like this was the first time I'd really got to grips with Adam Sandler, this is the first time I realised Ben Stiller was funny, because
yes,
I'd only seen him in Empire of the Sun and then Reality Bites, which he plays a more serious character in that. We didn't get the Ben Stiller Show in the UK, so I wouldn't really have known that he was a comedy guy. And it was kind of a revelation seeing him in this film. And then it was, you know, soon after you realise, oh no, this is his shtick. The serious stuff wasn't really what he does. It's this. So that was a really lovely surprise in this film.
Yeah. I guess there's a little bit of a through line. Like, although Ben Stiller has done a lot more, as I guess Adam Sandler has, they both do that thing of, like, they do calm and they're like, da 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 da, and then really angry and shouty. Like that line that he does in the nursing home where he's like, you can trouble me for a glass of shut the hell up, which is just like Sandler.
Yeah, you're right. No, they're delivering quite similar performances with sort of rage bubbling under the surface.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
All right, back to the movie.
So Happy wins the tournament, which puts him on the tour. And then we've got some of the, what Chris has talked about the class warfare. And so the commentators are talking about the crowd that Happy's attracting. And this is a good line. It says it's a very economically diverse crowd, which is a very fun way of saying that there are poor people.
But
and
you know
Shooter McGavin...
This is kind of based in reality, this is as well, because I looked it up to see if the timing was right, and it is. There was a golfer that showed up on the scene in the early 90s called John Daly, who could hit the ball further than pretty much any professional golfer had ever hit it. And he was a good old boy with a blonde mullet who liked a beer. He'd drive the ball monstrous distances, and he would attract this really rowdy, beer-swilling spectators. And he managed to win the PGA Championships in 91 and then the Open in 1995. And so this is kind of reflecting what was happening, because the people who run golf did not like this crowd showing up, partly because it does make the sport harder, because you've got to have silence for when a guy hits a golf ball. And it just wasn't happening. And it sort of happened since then at the Ryder Cups that have been held in America. You've had that with the crowd. So I think they were reflecting a sort of sea change that was happening in golf because of John Daly, and then also because of Tiger Woods attracting a different kind of crowd as well at that time.
Can I ask you a serious question? Do you really think golf is a sport, or to paraphrase lots of people, but particularly Chevy Chase, and I should have mentioned this on Monday, is it not just a way of men avoiding their families but formalised?
Both. It's incredibly hard. If you've ever played it, you'll realise how difficult the sport it is. So it's 100% a sport, but also... with the golf club's courses closed for the last 4 months, my mum has been devastated that she's been stuck at home with my dad for 4 months, that he won't go out the house.
Yeah.
And so
and the whole thing about like women not being allowed in, it's just like they've just gone, oh, fuck it. Shall we just see if this will work? Oh, no, you can't even come here like to check on what we're doing. Yeah. It's I'm leaving the house now and I'll be back at the end of the whole day. And you can't come and find out what I've been doing. Oh, OK.
And
cool.
the choices really are, it's either golf or fishing, if you do want to get away from your female other half, because obviously they're not allowed in golf clubs, and women dissolve if they get wet. Mm-hmm. So
and they can't, yeah, they absolutely can't swim. Yeah,
mm-hmm. But what I will say for a lot of the my dad's friends and that, I know that the wives,
not to laugh, sorry.
I know that the wives are very happy. They're as happy as the men are to be separated for that amount of time during the day, once a week. So.
I think it very much depends on the responsibilities at home. Like if you, I think if anyone's got children under five, and they're like, I'm going to go and play 18 holes. You're not. I'm sorry, but you're not. You're staying here and getting stuck in with this.
And Shooter McGavin in the film, like he encapsulates that kind of old school thinking when Virginia first comes up to him. And she starts talking to him about the potential things as a publicist she's got planned for the tour. And he goes, geez, you know what could be great? If I could get a Pepsi. And it's like, he delivers that so well. And then he turns around and he goes, oh, diet.
He's a brilliant villain because no effort, rightfully, is made to be like, you know, when we talk about a lot, if you speak to an actor who plays a villain, they're like, but really, I think my guy's the hero. And it's like, okay. But there is none of that here. Like, you can't be Shooter McGavin and say, oh, but really, I think he's trying to just, you know, do his best, or just it's just how he is. He's just a proper enemy with no redeeming features, which is brilliant.
And it's the little things, like as an actor, Christopher McDonald, it's the little things that he does so well, like the detail he's brought to that character. And I might be blowing it all out of all proportion here, but there's such nice touches, like when the boss of the tour is introducing him to speak to the crowd on stage. Yeah. He's at the back of the stage facing away from the crowd. So it's a big reveal when he turns around and it's his face in front of them, which is such a nice little touch. And then when Virginia is like going, did you see his shot? Did you see his shot? And all he can do is look at the fact that she's touching the elbow of his suit and he doesn't like it. Like, it's so good.
So he's cemented as Happy's enemy, and the tour is going quite well for Happy under Virginia's like tutelage. He's toned down the swearing and the crowd love him and they're following him rather than Shooter McGavin. He wins a lot of big checks. I think the big check joke, although it's puerile, is very funny about just stuffing all his big checks in his car. And he has a fight with the alligator that took Carl Weathers' hand, but then he loses his mojo because he's heckled by someone that Shooter McGavin has employed. And then he has a massive fight with Bob Barker. And we get the best line of the film, which, even though I said I've had my best line, which is "the price is wrong, bitch," which is really, really funny.
So that's not on my list of best lines in the film. My favourite line, which isn't a great line, but it's delivered so perfectly. Again, it's a Shooter McGavin line. It's when Richard Keel is standing behind him and he's saying Happy Gilmore made the green in one shot, and Shooter hasn't seen that it's Richard Keel behind him, and he turns around and he goes, "Well, moron, good for Happy Gilmore." Oh my God.
"Well, moron."
The Bob Barker thing, I didn't really understand that well though, because I didn't know he was the presenter of The Price is Right in America. And so I felt that was a bit of a tricky joke for, certainly when you read American reviews of this film, it's a lot of American people's favorite aspect of the film because it was so unusual to see him swear like that. But I think that's tougher for an international audience, that gag.
And it does feel, it's weird because we sort of assume like Hollywood is making films for like everyone, which they are now, I think, to a greater extent. But it does sort of feel very sort of like uninclusive when they do things that are only going to appeal to an American audience, knowing full well that same film is going to be broadcast like in the UK. I always found that a little bit selfish, if I'm honest.
It can be tricky. Not in this specific case, but it can be tricky with sports movies as well, especially the American sports that are just mainly only broadcast in America. And you know, if we're writing a soccer football film, that they won't get some of the jokes in America. It's tricky finding that balance, I think.
I will say that the look Bob Barker gives after you think he's passed out and he opens his eyes really suddenly like a zombie and grabs Adam Sandler's neck is perfect. Like that's properly great comedy acting.
Yeah, it is pretty funny. Now then, so I'm sort of like racing towards the third act, and we've got a little bit more story just to sort of framework, if you will, which is Happy can get his house back, but Shooter sort of beats him to it, and then there's a challenge laid down, which kind of doesn't make sense if you unpick it, but if he beats Shooter in the championship, he gets his house back or something. So anyway, you're getting them to play each other, and he needs to win, otherwise all is lost kind of thing. So then he's training because he's been happy so far. Happy has been happy just to whack it. And then when he gets onto the green, just to try his best. But Chubbs has always said to him, you know, I could, if you gave me 6 months, I could teach you to putt. So he's like, he's going to go and learn to do it properly. And then we get the scene, which these are my favorite bits, really. It's so stupid, but Chubbs takes him to a theme park. He's playing crazy golf to try and practice his short game. And Chubbs tells him to think of his happy place. And those weird dream sequences are really funny and so unusual and strange.
Yeah. Christopher McDonald, the guy who plays Shooter McGavin. I'm going to stop introducing him like I've not mentioned him already on this episode, but they're his favourite bits as well. The bit where he sort of invades Happy Gilmore's happy place and is like sort of tonguing like the Gene Simmons mask and like with his quiff, with his collar popped up. He said those were great fun to do.
The best bit is in the first happy place, Virginia's wearing white underwear, and then when Shooter McGavin invades it, her underwear's black. That's just such a little thing, but it's really funny because it's like in the dark version of his fantasy. It's really good.
The bit of the golf course is good. The bit where he smashes the clown's nose off, I thought was great because I find that clown terrifying. I mean, it's not the most terrifying clown. That clown is still Pennywise, as played by Tim Curry in It.
Yay!
Oh, could you tell I'd nearly forgotten? So, we go.
Is that Tim Curry who made Charlie's Angels and Garfield 2 with Bill Murray?
I know, I forgot to do it on Monday. So there you go. You get some weak-ass clown reference. But that is the obligatory Tim Curry reference of the week complete. So we are still on course.
On course, very good.
Of course.
There hasn't been enough golf puns, I noticed, in either episode. Do you not feel like that?
No, I'm really teed off about that.
And suddenly, I'm happy that there have not been many. Because
So, Chubbs dies. Happy Gilmore has to go it alone. And so his game starts to unravel. And then Grandma visits him right towards the sort of, we're forcing a bit of a low point, which he isn't going to win. And she tells him not to worry about it. And then you get the scene, the play as it lies scene, which is Shooter McGavin shooting a golf ball off jaws from James Bond's foot to play as it lies. Some observation tower collapses and Happy Gilmore has to play as it lies and he wins. The end.
Yeah, that about sums it up. Obviously, you missed out Ghost Crocodile, Ghost Carl Weathers, and Ghost Abraham Lincoln above the house, which is just quite a wonderful Star Wars-like reference. And obviously, we didn't talk about, Dennis Dugan is actually in the movie as well. He has a small role in the movie.
But this is the thing. Did he direct Moonlighting or was he in Moonlighting? But anyway, when I was reading about him, I was like, oh, he was a very established actor. I don't know if he's that good an actor in this. Like,
who is he in this?
I know he's the tour person, the tour boss.
Right. Okay.
So he's the one who says to Virginia, which is very unfair, you can tame him. Not those words. Basically, he's like, if he swears one more time, you are sacked. But if you can get him under control, he can stay on the tour.
Mm. I mean, it's more of an information line than a funny line in the first place. So,
Yeah.
I mean, I think, it's the generous thing to do, to be in scenes as the director and also as an actor, to not be the funny one. I think that's nice. I think that's a nice thing to do.
I don't think you should put yourself in your own films. Unless you're short of money, actually. And it was quite cheap, so maybe it was the sensible thing to do at the time.
Well, I don't know. I think M. Night Shyamalan might have a few things to say about
it. I was literally about to say that. Just springs to mind, didn't he?
Every time. The fact that the parts got bigger with every movie.
Oh, who's the guy? I didn't look this up. Apologies. There's a part, there's a man who stands next to Happy all the time. He's like the circle, the energy, feel the energy, and it's like of a connection with the Zen. I think that's really funny. I didn't look that
the hole, the ball wants to be in the hole. It's home. It's like you're like a carousel that you get on. you pay your money, the horses go round and round, but they also go up and down and up and down. He's great.
Yeah, and then that's when Adam Sandler gets to scream, why don't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for your home? to a ball, which is really great. Are you too good for your home? That's brilliant. So that's all I've got on the actual film, if you want to do the bits.
I'd like to quote Roger Ebert, if I may. Something that I noticed, but Roger put it much better about this film. He said, Happy Gilmore is filled with so many plugs, it looks like a product placement sampler in search of a movie.
I counted Diet Pepsi, Pepsi, Pepsi Max, Subway sandwich shops, Budweiser, Michelob, Visa cards, Bed Atlantic, AT&T, Sizzler, Wilson, Golf Digest, the ESPN Sports Network, and Top Flight golf balls. And the stuff with Subway, I guess they're trying to make a joke of it, but I found it so intrusive that it did my head in.
Yeah, I can remember that turned into an actual commercial. So when he was actually saying it in the restaurant, holding the Subway, going this delicious, foot-long, turkey-filled, I thought it was just going to end there and it wasn't going to turn into the advert. And I thought that was kind of funnier, like to just sort of be so blatant about it, but it not even have a plot point following on from it.
Yeah, I think that works better if you do that just the once. But then to have more Subway stuff after it, it's overkill. But it did make me want to go and eat a Subway. So it did its job. I found the product placement a bit too much in this one.
Okay. Well, that's the product placement section of the show done with. Do you want to do the bits now?
Sure.
Yes, I would. Yeah. Alex, what was your best scene?
Just stay out of my way. No, actually, it's not that one. I've got a better one. Okay, yeah. I couldn't decide between two, and I think I'm going to go with, I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast. You eat pieces of shit for breakfast? No. It's the fact that he just says no at the end. Like, he's got no comeback, so it's just no.
Chris, what about you?
Yeah. You can ask me for a glass of shut the hell up. Now you will go to sleep or I will put you to sleep. You're in my world now, Grandma. that moment, anything involving Ben Stiller in that nursing home, I think that's a whole subplot that I enjoy more than the actual movie, I think. And
I think we
should have got a spin-off.
It should have, this isn't my change, but it should have built, shouldn't it? So like the rule of three, because you, grandma's there, then grandma's having a bad time, and her and the other older people should like do all these rugs and then use them to escape and like dangle out of the window. That's what should happen.
Yeah. And I guess, to be fair, Stiller did play this character. I think he played in Heavyweights before this, which Judd Apatow worked on that, and he worked on this as well. And also Dodgeball, I think, is not dissimilar to this performance for Stiller. So, yeah, I love it. How about you, Vicky?
Just the Happy Place dream sequences, mostly because Virginia, as well as wearing lovely underwear, is holding like 4-pint pitchers of beer. And I was like, yes, please. That looks delicious. That's also my Happy Place. So I'm really missing pints. That's the thing, because of like lockdown, schmockdown. But I've lost about 2 stone, so it's just lager weight. So when you see me, don't be surprised, and don't mention it actually, because it's rude. MVW, Chris.
Most valuable, whatever. Ben Stiller.
Oh,
yeah.
Alex.
Christopher McDonald is Shooter McGavin. I'm not sure if I've mentioned him on this episode, but Christopher McDonald is Shooter McGavin.
Yep, me too, obviously. And if you could change something, Chris, what would you change?
I'd replace a couple of actors in this film.
What?
Yep,
whoa.
Yep. Purely for my own wants, I would replace Bob Barker with the British host of The Price is Right, Bruce Forsyth. I think it would have been, it's like for like really, except Bruce is funnier than, but Bob Barker's not known for his comedy, whereas Bruce Forsyth is. But Forsyth calling Adam Sandler a bitch while kicking the shit out of him would have been very funny. And this is horrible now. I really don't like the actress who plays the nan.
Oh, really?
Frances Bay. I know, this is horrible. I don't like her. She just gets on my nerves. I don't like her. Don't like her.
Okay.
So I'm quite happy when horrible things happen to her. So I think replace her with Betty White or Estelle Getty or one of the Cocoon ladies, and I would have liked that plot line a bit more.
The Cocoon ladies.
Do you mean from the film Cocoon or some sort of strange place that you know where older women are kept in cocoons and released as and when you decide?
I think you know the answer to that, Alex.
I think you're being facetious.
I do. I was. I'm sorry.
What's your change then?
Well, Vicky spontaneously just waded in and stole my change. But I'm going to email you my working out to show that this is individual thought. But I wanted a payoff for Stiller's villain. He is a bad guy. And at the end of the movie, he is still there in that nursing home, forcing those elderly people to do his bidding and whatever else Vicky thinks he might be up to.
Alex, there is a payoff, and it's a deleted scene, which I haven't seen for years, and I should have really rewatched for this podcast. But I think he gets thrown out of the window or something by Sandler, shows up angry when he's find out what's happening and throws him out the window or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, why on earth was that taken out? Because that is kind of an essential point, as Vicky said, that it's never really resolved. It's just like, well, grandma's out. Surely she would then. I know you don't like her, Chris, but you've got to believe she's a good person. Surely she should tell, like, Happy, like, actually something bad's going on in there that I couldn't say at the time, but we should really do something about it. And she hasn't done that. So maybe, Chris, you're right. Maybe she's a terrible human being, which is exactly what you said.
I mean, that wasn't my point, but fair enough. If, look, and apologies if I'm wrong, but if I'm right, I'll find that clip and we'll post it on Twitter. So I'm not a liar.
Do you want to know what my change is?
Yes, please.
It's a good one. Aye. So the way that Happy Gilmore wins is not so much... Oh, actually, Chris, you'll correct me if this is wrong, but it's not so much golf. It's more snooker because it's angles and maths and trigonometry. So he's bouncing the ball off certain hard surfaces in order to get it to move at an angle to go into a hole, which is snooker. So there should be something in his life that made him good at snooker as well as the hockey connection. So when in the montage, he's like, oh, my dad was a hockey guy and I wanted to play hockey. All you need is his dad was snooker. He was into hockey. He ends up playing golf, but a connection in his life, which puts him in the path, if you like, of snooker, because that's how he wins golf. He doesn't win golf with golf, I think.
How about a mid-credit sequence where a snooker pro comes up to him having seen that shot and the whole circle starts again, only this time he's a hockey player turned golfer who's now brilliant at trick shots at snooker but has to learn the regular game.
Yeah, we could have John Virgo in it. That's a brilliant idea.
This being an American film, I think you need to substitute pool for snooker. But aside from that, okay. I actually, this is fine. Well done.
Thank you. Wow,
big with the compliments today, Chris. This is fine. Well done. Great stuff. So, well, that's it for Happy Gilmore. Caddyshack was Monday. It is time for the verdict.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
So, Chris, these were your choices. You get to decide who goes first with this week's verdict.
Ooh, who do I want to go first? Let's have you first, Alex.
All right, I'll keep it short and sweet. I have very, very, very much struggled, not with that sentence, but with this week's decision, because Happy Gilmore means quite a lot to me. It was like the first Adam Sandler movie I saw, and no amount of ever decreasing returns on his work has really taken its toll that much. I still think it's one of his best, like, man-child movies. Caddyshack, on the other hand, is a really unique film. Like, and for so many reasons, it should not work, and yet skates by on insane likability and just this hyperactive energy for whatever reason everyone has in that film. So I'm going to go where my heart is. My heart is, one of these is formulaic and the other is not. It's an insane piece of cinema. I'm picking Caddyshack as my winner.
Okay. That was brief, was it? Okay. Caddyshack. Vicky, what are you going for?
I am going to come and find you and do something that would be bad to you. Carry on.
I'm going to choose, just because it made me laugh more and it really surprised me, Caddyshack.
Wow. Oh, look at that. Well, two votes for Caddyshack. Caddyshack has won, and I think I'm going to go out on a limb here and say old Chris Thrilly over there is probably going to plump for Caddyshack too, but I'll let Chris tell us.
Well, not Caddyshack 2, Caddyshack. But, yeah, I mean, Caddyshack loses points for me because it's got a nose pick and some vomit. And you know how much I hate vomit in a movie. It's a big no from me. But I think watching them back to back, I think one of the big differences is that Happy Gilmore is made by people who love ice hockey and are quite dismissive of golf, whereas Caddyshack is made by people who really love the sport. And I think that's why it stood the test of time with sports fans as well as people who just like comedy. So, yeah, and it still makes me laugh more than almost any other film. So, yeah, obviously Caddyshack for me.
Bosh! 3-3. Caddyshack is the winner this week. Congratulations to Caddyshack. I'm very happy about that. I know you are, Chris. Now, just before we get on to what we're talking about on next week's episodes, Chris, I believe you have some emails that I mentioned at the start of the show that you told me, no, you'd be doing them at the end of the show. That time has now arrived.
Yeah, apologies for that, Alex. That's all right. But before that, I thought we'd have a moment of reflection. Because I was doing a little bit of a survey.
Did you hear Alex's voice then?
Yeah, good.
You might not have heard. That was brilliant. It was like, for fuck's
sake. Because we are 50 clashes in now. We have done 50 clashes, which is 103 films.
Wow.
So I've done a bit of research. And as David Brent once said, that wasn't the real quiz on the last episode. This is the real quiz. So I've totted up, just one question. I've totted up all the different genres we've done. What genre do you think we've done the most across those?
Sci-fi action.
Alex, what was your... By the way, it's tricky doing this because some films obviously overlap. So I've had to just sort of use my judgment. I'm afraid sci-fi and action are two different categories, Vicky.
No. Sci-fi action. Like Aliens. Sci-fi action. Yeah?
Okay.
That's sci-fi.
That's really...
So it's sci-fi action. It is.
Alex, what are you going for?
Action sci-fi.
Thank you.
If I told you that was wrong, Alex, what are you going to go for?
I'm guessing horror. Have we done a lot of horror?
Correct. Ding, ding, ding. So we have done 22 horror movies, 18 action movies, 16 comedies, 16 thrillers, 7 fantasy, 5 sci-fi, 5 drama, 4 sport, 4 Christmas, 3 western, 3 superhero, 2 musical, and 1 romance, as was pointed out recently.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow, That's good. That was a bit of a gamble, I guess. I didn't think we'd done horror that much, but actually when you look back, yeah, of course we have.
We've gone hard on horror.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
I've listed them all out. I'll pop it on Twitter and people can tell us what genres we need to do, because I am aware we still haven't done gangster. We've got to do gangster. And I've avoided the emails this week after what happened last week with young Sam and what he said. I'm going to talk about Twitter. We started getting a conversation about merchandise, potential Clash of the Titles merchandise, because Aaron said, when are you guys going to sell some merch? I'm eager to buy. I will be buying for my friends too. The good word needs to be spread. So I put it to the people what they would want to see on Clash of the Titles merchandise. A few people requested I'm All In on a t-shirt. Elliot said I'd buy a Who You Trying to Kid Man t-shirt. He also offered to design the merchandise as well, which was very kind. We might get back to you on that, Elliot. Gavin wants a t-shirt that says, and that's this week's obligatory Tim Curry mention.
Yay!
But Mike had my favourite one. He would wear a t-shirt that says, I've got 3 kids.
Oh.
We could get the kids on as well. That's a nice idea.
So thank you for those. And if we'll have to have a serious chat about that, whether we do make some t-shirts if people would actually buy them.
Yeah, I'm all in is a strong contender.
With a picture of Mark Addy lying in bed.
Wait, with the three of us lying behind him. Just superimposes there.
Imagine that though. You're just looking down the street with a picture of Mark Addy in bed, says I'm all in. You'd get the weirdest looks.
Right. Okay. If you listen to Monday's episode, you'll know that we have re-recorded the reveal of what the clue was because the movie's changed at the last minute. So now Victoria is actually here to announce what those movies are. We're very excited. Christopher, are you there?
I am.
Great. Victoria, what movies have you picked for us to go through on Clash of the Titles next week? Two films, please.
I have picked, Chris, your...
Wait!
What?
The clue was The Life Aquatic.
Brilliant. Chris, you're going to watch Waterworld. And Alex, you are going to watch Aquaman.
Oh, I got some stories about Aquaman, let me tell you. Lovely stuff. All right, Waterworld versus Aquaman. That is Clash of the Titles next week. Do your homework, Clash Podders. We'll be back on Monday. Bye-bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.